Thanks for tuning in to the Prime Nostalgia, the podcast dedicated to entertainment from childhood. That's 80s, 90s, the latest 2000s. Cause Prime, you know it all, and Lee Boy be wild. And he's from all that, dropping gems for you to find. So that's orange, the light is line. Prime time is all the time. We talking about the classics, and there's so many. That's Lee Boy TV and Prime. Wow. What's up, y'all? It's me. It's me, the L-E-E-B-O-Y TV. I have my co-host. He's the co-host now. Now that we at over 100, you know, I'm taking the host spot. I'm moving him over to the co-host spot. And that boy named Prime, I guess. What's your name, boy? You know, we were family today. So everything good today, bro. What's up? Introduce yourself to the people.
It's me. I can't rhyme, so I'm just Prime. Just plain old me.
And you guys just heard some brand new rhymes on our brand new intro, so hopefully you guys like that. Please leave us some comments, tell us what you think about it. It was hella fun putting it together, so hopefully you guys will enjoy it and share. And then we have a special guest with us today, someone I'm very familiar with, and I'm hoping everyone that follows my page is very familiar with her as well, because we be kicking it, we be throwing out all kinds of content, and you know, we just friends like that. And this is LaTangela Newsom. Say what's up to the people.
What's up, everybody? What's up? Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here. Yes, we've been trying to get this popping for a minute. Schedules get crazy, but thanks for having me. Glad we're finally getting it together now.
Yeah, and if you guys don't know, she is Nickelodeon family. SNICK, even to be more exact, she was on SNICK as well, on Tyena. Yeah. There's tons of connections between her, me, some of her castmates, and some of our castmates. We'll be getting into all of that throughout the show. But first, we want to just open up saying, what's up with you, Tan? How's it feel to be on the podcast finally? I know you've been watching, right? Look, you did shoot that 100 episode video, so appreciate that.
Definitely. Of course. Definitely been watching and sharing, but I'm glad to be here and kick it with y'all. You know, you guys always got some of the dopest people on your show, so like, I don't know how you do it, but you managed to get some of everybody on here. So I'm glad to be in the mix.
You have been on the podcast, or at least on a special edition of the podcast with you, Christine. We got an amazing note from Chris Knowings. So everybody definitely go check that when we were all out together in Hollywood. And we'll get into our top secret project that we're actually working on together in just a minute. But I wanted to rewind back to a story of you, Christy, and Elisa back in NYC.
Oh, wow. I'm scared.
I don't even know this story.
Well, I mean, I think it's little known history that you guys, grew up together out of NYC. I don't have no tea, so no, I'm not coming like that. Okay. Maybe you could drop some.
I was trying to think real fast. Like, what could he possibly know?
No, I don't got no tea. That's for you to drop, but can you just tell the people about what it was like growing up at a performing arts high school and being alongside some of the Nickelodeon castmates and stuff that you later met up with?
Man, it's so funny that you said it, because I'm actually in my disheveled office right now. So I'm moving some stuff around, and I came across some plaques that I went to performing arts school, like you said, in New York City, and it was called Professional Performing Arts School. Not to be confused with LaGuardia, which is the one that's more famous than us. They're down the street. They were our, you know, friendly rival school. A couple of real fights happened after school too, I ain't gonna lie. But no, it was they were a bigger school, but they were much more strict. Like with the while you were in school, they didn't want to release you for like actual work and audition. So it was like, yeah, when you get done studying, you got time for that. But in my school, they fax you your work on set. You know, they're like, that's what you're here for. Go work. You know, so I loved my school. It was super small. But yeah, they gave out plaques. This is one of them. Yeah, plaques when I graduated. This is my academic leadership plaque. It's hard to see. I know it's a glare. So those are like PPAS is the acronym. But then they did this too. They gave out outstanding recording artist. Hey. And, you know, I'm recording. So they gave us I did my work. I have my honors ribbon somewhere too. But they gave out the recording artist, the outstanding actress. Like it was like the Academy Awards and the Grammys all roll up in one, and at graduation. So my school was cool like that. But definitely I went to school with Christy Knowings, who is the twin of Chris Knowings, which, you know, you guys know from Tyena. You know him from Crooklyn as well. And he's on Sesame Street currently, but that's her twin brother. And so it's crazy how, you know, Chris was always a nerd. So he was somewhere at Brooklyn Tech while we were at Performing Arts High School. Mm. But I went to school with Christy and Alisa Reyes as well. But I know Alisa Reyes even prior to that. Like, we were, you know, child actresses.
Commercial stars.
Right, yeah, like something like that. Because originally, and we, our moms were our managers, and they all ran together. So we also have another friend who will make an appearance on our secret project, which we'll talk about later. But her name was Lena Carwell, and she was on a show called Passion. So we all were actually together. Our moms were together. We knew each other as well prior to going to Performing Arts. And yeah, we were little people in the business running together, and me and Alisa did a few music videos together. So if you guys go to my page at @IAM_LaTangela on Instagram, you can see it on one of my reels, a clip of that video, which is Subway, I Can Make Your Dreams Come True. You guys can watch it on YouTube also. But we also did Deborah Cox's video, Where Do We Go From Here? We did that one together. So, yeah. So, we all grew up together. We were real tight, and we were basically like family. So, yeah, we go way back, even way before Nickelodeon.
Dope. And I always like to hear those stories about people reconnecting, the small circles that get reconnected, you know what I'm saying, full circle moments, all the whole circle of life, all of that stuff. So,
and it's so weird how that happens, because I listen to a lot of like documentaries from like other celebrities, actors, singers, whatever, and it's so crazy how they all have stories of, yeah, we knew each other back in the day, we were roommates, or we, and I'm like, how does that happen? You know, it's just like, I don't know, just the energy, I guess, that draws people together.
Did you see Kid 90? So you talk about documentary.
Oh yes, I did. Right after that Clubhouse we did, you know, okay. Yes, definitely. You guys got to jump on our Clubhouse on Thursdays for Throwback Thursday. But we were talking about Kid 90, and everybody was like, "You got to see it." So I watched it immediately, and yes, I was not disappointed. That was crazy. Yeah.
A lot of circles, a whole lot of actually, just a whole lot of connections in that one. That I'm scared. Oh, hopefully, we don't have them kind of connections. Look,
No. We don't need that. Sit down, devil. Not here. Right. We won't be doing that. But it was very interesting, and it's crazy how, you know, what's her name? Moon?
Soleil Moon.
Soleil Moon, yeah, how she just captured all that, you know.
Absolutely. So you kind of alluded to your recording artist career and getting that plaque in high school. What are some of the connections people will be surprised to hear about in the music industry that you made? Because I know that voice is taking you to some places where people are like, hey, we got to get this girl in the studio. So what type of people have you met in the recording space?
Oh, man. Honestly, to be honest, I was actually like, I was living overseas. My dad, I'm a military brat, but he was retired. So we were actually living, I've lived in Turkey and Saudi Arabia. I was born in Germany, but we were living in Saudi Arabia at the time that me and my mom were like, look, we can't even drive. Can we go to New York? Because I was always had the bug to be in the industry. I started off in pageants when I was real, real young. And my mom was a performer. So I moved to New York. I was turning 13. I was 12, but I was getting ready to turn 13 when I moved to New York. But so my intent was to get, you know, really go hard with the acting, because a manager actually asked me to move to New York from a seminar that I went to, which is another story. But I had signed with Abrams right away and thought that was my path until I got into the music, and the music actually had me more busy than the acting for a good amount of time. So I was in the studio with, I ended up going in the studio with Deborah Cox. I did something with Father MC, you know, I was in the studio. I remember being in the studio with Lauren's people and hearing her album. She actually wasn't there.
Lauren Hill?
Yes. Lauren Hill. I heard Miss Education before all of y'all. I swear I did.
We're educated on that one.
Yes. And in high school, like, I went to high school, what we call Hell's Kitchen. Alicia Keys, I also went to high school with her. We were all, Sean Nelson, who you guys know from The Wood. We were all, you know, in high school together. But right a couple of blocks down from our school were all the record labels and what they called the Polygram building. And so all the labels were in there, and pretty well, not all of them, but a good majority of them. And to this day, he actually called me the other day and damn near cussed me out. His name is Andrew Dice Randani. You guys can Google him. But he is been in the game forever. He's a vet, and he was instrumental. He's Andre Harrell's right hand man. And he called my mom like, "Yeah, I got our daughter over here. You know, she's at the office. She's over here kicking it with me or whatever." But in that office, I saw some of everybody. Like, I heard India Arie's album before it came out. She used to be up there all the time. Carl Thomas. Actually, I'll be sure, he's another of mine in the game. He used to be an A&R up there as well, so he'd be there all the time. Man, it's just the names go on and on, because you just never know who would come in the building, who you kick it with, and all the different events. But I actually recorded with Deborah Cox. She actually did some, laid down some vocals for me and produced me in the studio. Song was fire. I wish I had it to this day, but yeah. So, so yeah, I did a lot of stuff. And KG from Naughty by Nature, he's another one who I was in the studio with. So I used to hang out with Jaheim and Next and all of them. And yeah.
Dope. So what you got going on with the music nowadays? I know you recorded something for our secret project. We're gonna keep talking about it. But anything, any plans, any concrete plans that you have coming forward, or just making sure that you're feeding the beast right now?
I'm actually open to it. I don't know. I'm open to what's going to come. I can't say that I'm necessarily working on an album currently right now, or, you know, setting up for a tour or anything. But if someone approached me, if there was some collaborations, even some movie soundtrack projects, I'm just kind of one of those people that I just get the urge to sing sometimes. I get the urge to write. And there's a lot of music that nobody's ever heard that I've written that doesn't really sound like it belongs to me. I don't know. I think I wrote it for somebody else. You know, it's like you can listen to all those songs and it sounds like six different albums. So, you know, I know that I probably wrote them for a purpose, but I don't know if I've necessarily found my niche. So I'm old school with it. I'm so like, I want to
say, look, I'm going to do the pitch for you. If you're out there, you need a jingle, you need a show intro, you need a song, you need a whole song. She's going to pin it for you. She's going to put it down. Y'all holler at LaTangela.
Well, you're that production crew that's fire. I'm talking about old school Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, hey, Dark man. Child. Like that. I'm talking about that group, like Timberland and Missy, you know, with Aaliyah, and Dark Child with Brandy, and, you know, Jimmy Jam and Terry with Janet. Like, they didn't sound, you know, that was when they sound their best. That's when they put out their best music, because that chemistry was fire. So that's what I'm really looking for. Like,
and so if you got cool something on this music, I know you love all those names she just dropped, especially Jimmy Jam.
Of course.
As soon as Jimmy Jam.
I got a quick question. Because you mentioned soundtrack. Would you rather have a big song on the soundtrack in a TV movie, or a small role, a two-stanza verse in a song worldwide in a major movie?
So, okay, so would I rather have a verse on a major song on a huge, you know, magnificent, huge...
Yes, but it's like, you got like, you want to say like two words in the song.
Versus
having your you know, your whole song played during like a Lifetime movie.
I think I would probably rather have those two words on that big song, only because of that networking value, that relationships, you know, those relationships I made in that studio or whoever produced that song is going to go a long way. And, you know, just to be able to say you're on an iconic song, it's nothing like that.
Yeah, just I was on there. They could figure out how much. Look, you ain't got
to. I'm talking about let's spill the you beans. Were one of We Are the World. You did that.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
And look, they put me on there, I would have been like, yeah, I sang the whole song. Look, everybody was in there, about 100 people.
Right, exactly. 1,000 people and you, but I was on there.
So you've been all over the world, literally pursuing this acting and music game. What is the best city that you would want, if you could do it for your kids, or if you could recommend to someone else, what city would you tell them to do it from? Because I know you've been in LA, you've been in New York, you're in Atlanta now, which is a great entertainment hub, and you've been overseas. If you could recommend to someone, what was your favorite and why?
I think definitely the times have changed. So in terms of like my favorite and what's beneficial now, especially with the kid coming up in the game, I think Atlanta is the perfect place for that, because it's so much going on here, but you have that balance of regular life, of space, parks, grass, and just like regular people, regular food. You know, you have that balance of Hollywood and or entertainment, I should say, and just a regular kind of life, you know, grounded.
Somewhat affordable housing, stuff like
that. Somewhat affordable housing, exactly.
It's not going up out there, too. It's going up in Atlanta.
It is, but it's still nowhere near comparable to New York or LA. Right. And I love New York just because it's kind of like second home to me. Sorry, lost the earring. It's like second home to me, and I learned so much hustle-wise in New York, and, you know, just it's a different type of energy. It puts the fire under you and gives you like a thicker skin, I think. And the people are just, they're real with it. You know, people think New Yorkers are rude, but they're just going to tell you to your face. And so if they don't like you, you're going to know. There's no two ways about it, pretty much, for the most part. So I appreciate that. Just tell me. But so it grounded me. It taught me a lot. And L.A. was fun, too. But when I went to L.A., I was already working. And after I wasn't working, it was still, you know, difficult. But I was fresh off of the show. So I still, you know, did OK when I was in L.A. You know, I enjoyed the sunshine, but it is expensive. And so that's why a lot of people are moving from L.A. and New York to Atlanta. Atlanta's getting crowded. The traffic is stupid. I could do without that. It's getting, you know, like LA with that. But I think my favorite place, I'm partial to New York just because, you know, but my roots are Southern. So I like the space. I like the greenery that I can get in Atlanta. So it gives me that balance.
And I promise to the audience, we're going to get to Taina and Nickelodeon. So we'll definitely have a huge segment for that. But you brought up the hustling and your hustle spirit, and that was definitely on display when you pulled up on Shark Tank and got you a deal.
Oh, wow.
Hey, you got you a deal with a damn prototype, and that'll never happen. I was like, oh, you did the damn thing on there. Just to talk about, well, one, I know you give classes and you help people actually get their pitch together and make it possible for them to get on the show. Just talk about that process of like even having the courage to get up there and, you know, where that came from, because I'm telling you, that's the hood entrepreneur's dream. Can we get up there on Shark Tank and just pitch our favorite thing in the world? And like,
you did it though. Well, I appreciate that, first of all. But yes, I think first and foremost, I was a diehard Shark Tank fan from the beginning, and always have been, you know, just a creative person in general, and probably an entrepreneur at heart, definitely an inventor at heart, but I think a lot of us are. But I always said, if I come up with a, you know, a good enough idea to go on Shark Tank that's worthy of the tank, then I'm definitely going to give it my all and try. But I have been studying actually the show, and I think subconsciously I was studying it because I really love the show. But I've studied every version of Shark Tank. I mean, there's the Dragon's Den. It started in one of the Asian countries. I think it was Japan or China. I can't remember. But it went to Canada. So even Robert Herjavec is from Canada. And, you know, they come from the Canadian version of the show, the Australian version. Like, I've watched everyone, and I've studied all the entrepreneurs that have been on there. And I think that's what helped me get on with the prototype, because I kind of knew the ins and outs. Like 40,000 people applied to that show, and 180 or so are selected, and only 100 actually air. So you're constantly getting cut, like no matter what. My audition process was 8 months long. It may not be that for you. It depends on what time of year you audition, because they'll audition all year for the next coming season. But I just kind of knew what it was I wanted, and I was just focused on it. And I mean, you know, some people aren't into this or whatever, but being spiritual and being grounded, like, that was everything for me, because there was everybody around me was saying, you know, you gonna do that? You gonna learn it by yourself? You sure you can handle that? You know, that's for my people, my brothers, you know, everybody.
The doubters was coming in, right?
So I had to tune it out and be like, you got this, you know, you can do it. I actually found some free help from the Small Business Development Center. So everybody has one in their area. That's a tip for you guys. You know, if you're starting a business, they have so many resources in these centers. I'm talking about everything. And I sat down with the business advisor for like 4 hours a day, and I crunched those numbers and I started my company. I was actually auditioning while I was forming my LLC, getting my trademarks, still developing my product and getting prototypes sent to me. I mean, the night before my open call, I got my prototype, my first prototype. So it was like, it was still warm when I was there, when I'm standing, and I stood in line. I think it was what, 353 in line, something like that. That was my number. And I stood out there all day. Yeah, I stood out there all day. It was cold and windy, and I had my bag, my product in my bag, and there was people out there just like pitching to each other. You know, everybody's like, you know, showing their products. I was like, nope, I'm not doing it. So, you know, yeah, I was out there all day, and when I finally got in the building, they broke us, and then we had to come back. But yeah, and it was round after round after round. You know, one thing after another. Solo, my dog's choking. One thing after another, and you got to be really like business ready. Like, you can't be on the bull. You know, you really have to really do your due diligence in terms of your legalities in your actual business, because they want that to support your idea. And yeah, it was a lot. That's the hardest audition I've ever had in my life.
That's what I was gonna ask. Is it, how would you compare it to the acting audition process? So you think that's way harder?
It's way harder. First of all, it's so many people, and I know the numbers are always against us with acting as well, but the numbers are astronomical with Shark Tank, and you have to be TV ready or not shy in front of the camera or whatever, not be an actor or be an entertainer, but just be comfortable in front of the camera. Also be entertaining to some degree, as well as know your business and know your numbers and really know how to negotiate with those sharks in a way that is like, okay, not typical. There's a few things you just don't say in a tank. And if you don't know, if you don't know some of these secrets and some of these tidbits, which is why I started the course, how I got on Shark Tank, because there's a few things that I've studied for y'all. I promise you I have. I know everything there is to know about every shark and about every pretty much entrepreneur that's been on the tank, you know, and just what happens, you know, after the fact. And a lot of people don't close their deals. I did not. I went through about 6 or 7 months of negotiation with Barbara. And I talk about that in depth in my Cosmopolitan article that I did. I did an interview with Cosmopolitan, and they had like 5 Shark Tank favorites, and I was one. But I was the only one that had an alternative story. Like, hey, yeah, I didn't close my deal. I'm not at a million yet in sales. You know, I'm still on the uphill battle. So they appreciated that perspective. That was interesting. They said to hear something different and see that it doesn't always go one way. So.
But yeah, and the product is grease bags. I think I've heard from you personally a lot of new things coming out that I don't know what you could talk about, but is there anything that you would like to tell the audience about grease bags and the success you've had recently?
There's a few things on the rise that we're, you know, kind of got our fingers crossed about and waiting for the ink to dry on a few other things. But what you can know is you can always get it at Amazon. We are part of the Amazon's Accelerated Black Business Program. We were actually the first in that program. We were the guinea pig for that pilot program. So there's a lot of big things attached with that we have coming in the works with Amazon as well. So and you guys,
that's a big company right there. Look, that's a nice look.
It is. Right. And I encourage you guys to apply. You know, if you're a black owned business, definitely look into that program. It's awesome. You know, they've been so great and so helpful. Tiffany Johnson is my point of contact, who actually created the program. So she's moved on up, but she's in the commercials and she's actually wonderful. So, and she did create that program. So it's not hype. It's not hype. It's real.
Go check out Green Bags, y'all. Yep.
Yeah,
definitely. So, but yeah, we're working on a lot of things. We actually are trying to solidify a lot of contracts with the cities. That's not really a secret. That's just something that is our biggest animal, because cities actually reach out to us. They'll Google and they'll be like, hey, so we hear you got this product that we need. So actually doing our government contracts with the cities and municipalities, so that, you know, not only will it be a retail product, but, you know, the utility companies will probably start rolling them out for you guys to sample here soon in your cities as well. So,
dope.
So with you being on Shark Tank, I don't know if you probably haven't seen this. Do you watch like parodies of Shark Tank? Like, have you seen Saturday Night Live's parody of Shark Tank?
I have not, and I didn't even know they had one. I need it.
They have like two. They got one with Chris Rock, and I think they got one with Kevin Hart. But like, so I'm looking over. I'm looking at it now, and Chris Rock is trying to get 40 million, 400 million for ISIS to be an ISIS member. But I just think it'd be funny, especially if you're on the show, if they, you know, look at stuff like that. So I just wanted to ask, did you see it?
Because I actually thought about a couple. You know, I'll think about it because I'm an actress and I'm silly too. I actually thought about a couple that I wanted to do for like a TikTok or something. I just got to get my editing game up. I swear, I don't know how to do half of these videos. I have ideas for days, but I got to check those out for sure.
Yeah, we need to hire a damn editor full time on staff because we got so much content. The editing is
so much.
It's difficult. It's too much. So if y'all, anybody out there editing, need some projects, hit us up. Hit me, Tanj, and Prime. I'm sure Prime, you want to
get... Where's Terrell? Terrell is the editor.
I know. We're going to hit up Terrell for sure.
Yeah. Terrell, but anybody else out there, look, we always need...
No.
Yes.
I got something ready right now. Then let's take a break.
Cool.
We can come back with some Tyena, and then we'll talk more about that secret project and everything going on with the child stars. We'll be right back on the Prime Nostalgia Podcast. All right, we are back on the Prime Nostalgia Podcast, the PNP. It's me, LEEBOYTV. I got my guy, PRIME Prime, Mr. Primetime 95, and our special guest, LaTangela Newsome. Is it just Tangela? LaTangela or LaTangela?
Well, it's LaTangela, but then if you cut it, everybody calls me Tangy. But I don't know, lately though, I have been LT to everybody. Okay. And I don't know if it's because I capitalized my T. I don't know where it came from. I'm not trying to be a rapper, I promise. I just don't know. He's like, LT. Ron calls me LT now. That's my business partner, y'all. He doesn't call me by my name anymore.
I've been typing in Tanj all the time on my phone trying to look for a mess. I'm like, it is not saved in here as Tanj. God damn, but I'm going to have to change that. Yeah, I think it's time to get into this goddamn Maritza, because this is what... I'm sure people hit you up every day about this iconic character that you played.
Yes.
Some of the best scenes and best singing, hilarious, content that we'll find on Nickelodeon. So dope to you, and kudos to you for being a part of that. What is the number one skit or piece of content that people hit you up about and tag you in?
It has to be the Johnny Bow scene. That is, I think, Maritza's most iconic scene. That, along with her laugh and, you know, the tagline, the Tyena, you know, the high-pitched Tyena tagline. But as far as scenes, that Johnny Bow scene is kind of one of the most classic. And when 3OW was there, too, Blue Mascara also. Yeah, for dope, sure. Dope.
Yeah, I always see that laugh, and definitely the Tyena, like you said, the Tyena voice. Can you give it to us just once, please?
Tyena!
Why you be terrorizing Tyena? Like, does she hate you or something?
But let me tell y'all something. Stop asking me to do that in the grocery store, okay? Because I'm not going to do it. I'm not. I'm not. I'm just not gonna do it now. I'm not that's shy or nothing, but y'all asking too much with that.
Yeah, that's kind of loud. But, does Taina hate you on the show? Because I seen her hating on you in a couple scenes. I'm like, what is going on here?
It's so crazy because it's like, yeah, it's I always reference the Pam and Martin relationship, how they hated each other, but then towards the end of those last seasons, you start seeing that love low-key. So that's kind of what it was because, you know, Maritza was originally supposed to be on for 6 episodes. And I actually got a call from Albie Hecht. I remember the day he called. Well, I didn't get a call. The executives that were, we were in Orlando shooting at the time, and Albie Hecht was president. And he called down and was like, hey, you know, we got to add her to every episode now. And we hadn't aired yet, but he just was seeing the footage. And so he was like, yeah, we got to have her in every episode. So first season.
So is that why your name isn't in the intro in the first season?
Well, my name is, but nobody's
face. I mean, like, yeah, well, yeah, you know, like.
Yeah, nobody's face was in the intro except for Taina. But second season, we all are in there. And it's, they just kind of edited us in there. But yeah, at least they did give me top billing on the first season. But you can tell, though, that I was written in at the last minute because there's a few, she walks in and out of a few scenes towards, like, after those 6 episodes, you kind of see me come in and out of a few scenes because they had to write me in at the last minute. But second season, me and Christina were at Taina, were in a lot of scenes together. And that was because from the gate, they, you know, they wrote it that way. So, yeah, she became like a prime part. So it's like, if you don't like them, like Maritza, if you hate them so much, why are you always there? Like, why are you always cackling in their jokes or chiming in their conversations? So it's like low key, she wanted to be their friend. She just is Maritza.
I mean, that must be extremely satisfying to get, you know, start off as a feature and to be written in as a regular. I mean, that's like a dream come true as an actor for sure.
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, my God. When I tell you, I was like, what? And then the thing is, like, people don't know we were, man, I was a part of Taina before Taina was Taina, really. I mean, well, it was always Taina, but there was about two years before we actually shot the pilot. Yeah, like we did table reads to death. And then we shot the pilot, you know, then Nickelodeon gave us the green light to shoot the pilot. I was actually a lead on another show called Rep before that, which was kind of based after a show, a repertory company called City Kids, which I was a part of in real life. And I had auditioned for Nickelodeon for years. They had told me no for I don't know how many times. And then they gave me Rep. And then that didn't see the light of day. And they moved me to Taina. So actually, when I read for Taina, I kind of knew that I was going to get that. But I was the last one to get the call. So I was like, maybe not. I don't know. But yeah. So yeah, I auditioned for Nickelodeon for a lot of years, you know. And like I said, Taina, we were actually working on that project for maybe about 2 years, year and a half at the minimum, but I want to say 2 years before we actually shot the pilot. And a little secret that nobody really knows. I don't even know if I've said this.
That's what we need.
I don't really know if I've said this anywhere else, but there was a completely different girl playing Taina when we first started.
Christina. Okay. Yeah, I loved her in Brink, by the way, just putting that out there. But
yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, wait a minute. Let me see what I got right here. But this was our original, like, cast folder that they gave us. It's all, like, raggedy now, but I still have it. And they actually used to play the theme song when you opened it. So the battery, yeah, it did. But I had the picture of the original breakdown of the show. I don't think it's here. I have it somewhere, so we're gonna have to come back on that. But yeah, you'll see the picture, and I have the pilot actually that we shot, and the pilot has a different Taina. It's not the same one.
Wow! So she came in and stole the show, fresh off Brink. Look, no, I'm playing.
Yeah, I have to look up. I'm not even gonna say her name, the original one, but I'm gonna.
Oh
look
yeah, yeah, she's still salty. No, I'm playing.
I hope not. She probably went on to do great things as well. I just haven't looked through.
Amen.
Yeah.
So I got two of the same questions. They both crossover related. One, if you could do a crossover with any Nickelodeon show at the time, whether your friends on there, whether more people watch the show or whatever, what What do you think that would be? Just for the Nickelodeon people out there.
For like what crossover in terms of what? Like
a Taina and so and so crossover, like y'all are characters. So it's like
Right.
If you can mash up two shows on Nickelodeon.
Two shows. Yeah. Man, that's an interesting question. And they kind of used to do that too, like back in the day. And it's cool when you saw them do that.
Before you answer, you were on Double Dare with Noah Knows Best.
Yes.
So you guys did a little, and I'm hella jealous that you got to get on Double Dare because that show was fire. But
man, I'm talking about it was so nasty. We were so nasty after that.
Didn't they used to have the nose where the
yep.
Yes. Oh my God. I had just got my tracks put in, y'all, and I had that pudding and that blue stuff. I'm telling you, it was a wrap. I had to start over. All of them had to come out. And it smelled horrible.
So yeah, any that you could think of that you want to do a mashup with? There's a ton of music related shows too on Nickelodeon. Not a ton, but there are a few.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
What?
I mean at any Nickelodeon era, not just in that era. I mean
in exactly. Okay, not just in that era. Okay. We'll probably be like, it's so far apart in generations, like they're probably not even gonna know what I'm talking about. But there was a show called 15 on Nickelodeon.
Okay.
15 was so good. And I felt like that would be like, in terms of like a good mashup with Taina, that would probably have been a good one. Because at the time, that show was it. Like we were couldn't wait to get home to watch 15.
I think that was the first 15 reference we got on this show.
Really? Yo,
They've never
known nothing about that.
Nope. You never heard about 15?
No, sir.
Oh,
that's the you can't do that on television era.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know about that one. Oh, everybody's told us about that because it's related to all that. So, but I had never seen that one either. So.
Yeah, Roundhouse. Roundhouse was where they were singing. They were singing on Roundhouse.
Okay, so you old school Nickelodeon. All right.
Old school. All y'all my age, but it's all good.
It goes like that sometimes. All right, so we heard about your the moment that people hit you up about. What was your favorite moment on Taina, whether actually in a scene or offset or just being around, anything that you could remember that really sticks into your brain?
I guess I have two. In terms of an episode beyond the music, because it was a playoff of Behind the Music, and that was one of those episodes where it was so much fun because we used to record, of course, like I showed you, we had the soundtrack. So me and Christina used to go into the studio pretty often outside of filming the show. But that was the one time when me, her, and Kalia, you know, all the girls were in the studio in New York together. We were in like Studio 50, the Hit Factory. The Hit Factory is where and we were all like upset that song did not, oh no, she didn't, should have been on the soundtrack. Like everybody loved that song, but recording it was so much fun. Shout out to Chuck Giscone, who was our music producer, and he used to come up with all the hits. He was so dope, but that was just the most fun. Kim Fields directed us as well. She directed that episode. And, you know, she was just like, she told me that I reminded her of Regine, you know, and her character Regine, which was an honor, of course, who, come on now, living single style. So, and just to be around her energy and just be like, man, she's a legend in the game. We actually kicked it at her house after that, too. You know, she was real open. So she invited us over to eat at her house and stuff. But that was like one of the most fun episodes. And then we had so many guest stars that were part of that episode. We had Shakira and LaRomeo and Bow Wow and Dream. So everybody had their little cameos in that episode. So, yeah, I think that was the most fun. And man, what was the other one? Outside of that, when Michael Jackson came to set.
Wait, what? Okay. Wait, yeah. Rewind.
Excuse me. Did you know about this, Brian? I did not.
This is crazy. Hey, this is exclusive. Yeah, we got it. My horn always sounds like Blue's Clues. Brr, brr, brr. I'm working on it. But Mike Jackson hit the set?
Yeah, he actually brought his kids to visit in Orlando. He was doing the tour. He was doing the whole Universal Studios tour. And we were filming at the time. So I mean, we had a lot of celebrities that did cameos on Tyena that we were around, you know, at different events and different things. When I tell you, we were all like, wait, but that's different. So when he walked past our, and we were told, you know, they gave us the little lecture, like, don't be, you know, getting falling out and acting crazy when he comes.
They probably had to.
Oh, hell no.
Nah. Hey, act like you got some sense, like when you're going through the stuff.
Act like you got some home trainer.
Up there, look. ABC.
Oh, kicking up your legs, yeah, yeah. No. Yeah, and Maria, shout out to Maria. She was like mama, so she was like, y'all better not. Maria Perez Brown, the creator of Tyena. But yeah, so she gave us the rundown before he came, and our dressing rooms were like in the main hallway. So it's like when he turned that corner and he had Blanket and his kids had the mask on. I remember Blanket had like this butterfly one. It was like this mask or whatever, and the other babies, they were all covered up, but he walked past and we just all came out of our dressing rooms like one by one, like dominoes. Like, did y'all just see that? Like, he just walked by.
Man, I would have had what would I have done? What are you have done, Brian?
I would have
hit that spin so fast. Look, I would have hit the spin, the moonwalk, everything.
And I'm telling you. Yeah, like I have been to some of the biggest parties with some of the biggest stars, and I've never been starstruck other than that moment. That was it for me. So yeah, those two moments together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just so crazy how much we have all the experiences that we've been able to compile as child stars, and that actually leads into our secret project that we got going on.
Jesus.
What's that? You got some?
That was I'm just talking about the segue was you know, I see what you did.
It was good. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, it was good.
With Michael Jackson, she got the 3LW story, and and then we have this child star project that we're working on with me, you, and a bunch of other Nickelodeon stars and people off Nickelodeon. It's Angelique going to be on there, Christy. Also, Jermaine Williams from Disney Channel and other places from everywhere, actually. Marquise Wilson, that was on Hanging with Mr. Cooper. Am I missing any names? Did I say Angelique, Christy? Giovanni Samuels, also from All That on Nickelodeon, and Friends. And we got other people that are going to be funneling in. And just tell people about how it's been getting together, us child stars, and talking about some of these moments, because we relate to each other on so many different levels.
Yeah, I always say it's kind of like a fraternity or sorority or club or whatever you want to call it in a way. It's just nobody understands us the way we do. Nobody understands the struggles that we've been through. And so even when it's been some years in between time that we've seen each other or communicated, it's always this connection, because it's just difficult being us sometimes. Like, it is, you know. And even with Tyena, we were on for 2 seasons, but they were iconic seasons. So even when I want to let it go, others don't. And I appreciate that, because you guys don't have to be thinking about me or Maritza or anybody.
Go, never let it go, Tans. I'm sorry.
I'll never let it go. I mean, I was on Shark Tank and people were sending me messages like, it was so good to see Maritza on TV again. And she still has the same personality. I'm like, nothing to do with grease bags, nothing. They didn't care nothing about my product. So I can't shake it, but I appreciate it as well. But it makes it difficult sometimes, because we're in between two worlds. And so keeping ourselves busy, you know, keeping ourselves fed, keeping money in the bank, all of that stuff are things that we, you know, will address, and that we are addressing in this secret project, amongst other things. But there's a lot of misunderstandings. And so that's basically like what it's about. And it's been great kind of getting together with everybody, because it has been a while for some of us. So it's kind of like, wait, so what have you been up to? And being able to relate to each other in those ways, like, what have you been doing in the meantime? You know, a lot of us have kids now and are married now. And what has our survival stories been like individually? I think it's been the most interesting thing about getting together and, you know, just having a good time and reminiscing. You know, nobody knows us like us. So.
But yeah, I mean, and I encourage everyone to follow myself, follow Latangela, and everyone that we talked about within this cast, and you know, just stay tuned, because we're gonna have some exciting releases coming soon. I promise. I know we've been talking about it for a while.
I'll have some more announcements all day, because I am auditioning again. So yeah, all of that. So yeah.
And if you also want to, and I'll say, if you want to stay in contact or in tune with those announcements, also get in with us on the Child Star chat on Clubhouse every Throwback Thursday. We get on there about 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. We talk about everything in the industry that impacts Child Stars and the nostalgia community. And then we just have fun. We just kick it. So it's a great time.
It's a good place to get to know us. It's a good place to get to know the real us, you know, kind of, you know, getting rid of some of the things you might think you know about us. But it's interesting because just knowing where we're at right now, what we're up to right now, all of us, excuse me, all of us have some great things in the works. Christy, you know, she has her improv show every Friday, doing the most, which you guys need to tune into. She's hilarious. She's super talented. So yeah, it's just so much that everybody's got cooking right now. Leon, you got all your stand-up shows that you're doing right now and things that are going on in LA. Yeah, Prime, you over there, what you got popping? All the time, he always got something popping too. So everybody, like, you know, has their thing going, and you know, it's just a good place to kind of check in with this, kick it, grab a glass of wine, like I always got mine.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. So, Prime, before we wind down, we didn't talk about the Secret Project, the Child Star Chat. We definitely talked about Tyena. And then Shark Tank was crazy. I'm sure a lot of people are just learning that right now, because we have a lot of Nickelodeon nostalgic fans that watch this podcast, and maybe they haven't made that connection yet. Is there anything else you have for LaTangelo before we mosey on out of here?
Yeah, no, definitely. If you guys have been following me throughout the years, which a lot of my diehard fans have been doing, but if you guys know, I have a children's book out as well. If you guys have, you know, some young kids out there, it's an anti-cyberbullying children's book. It's actually kind of it's a non-scary way to teach your children about cyber safety, and it is a series. So I've toured some schools with that, and kids seem to love it. So you guys can get that on Amazon. Like we said, greasebags.com. You can always check it, grab it from there. Read more about the product on there as well, but you can also grab yours on Amazon. Everybody likes to shop on Prime. And how I got on sharktank.com. That's another website of mine. If you are interested in any pitch coaching, you're going out for the show, trying to formulate your business, just trying to get started, one-on-one coaching sessions, webinars, all that stuff is available on there. So you can reach out to me with that. And then we got our Secret Project. So make sure you follow us on everything social. I_LaTangelo. LaTangelo Newsome on Facebook. And also LaTangelo Newsome on YouTube. So, yeah.
And I might as well just go ahead with
you on YouTube.
I might as well just go ahead with my stuff, right? Might as well just get into our social picture.
Yes.
You can catch me at Lee Boy TV on pretty much all platforms, LeeBoyTV.com. I got some comedy shows coming out in LA. Make sure you stay in tune with me. We just had Sling Johnson. It was amazing turnout, big fun. And then also, we got this Secret Project going on. I'm producing something with Christy. I'm producing something with this battle rapper. Just stay in tune, because we're going to have some announcements coming soon, y'all. So just stay in tune with Lee Boy TV.
Yeah, it's like the purge right now, but in a good way.
Right.
We're purging on that talent right now. Turns
Prime, tell them about the 100th episode we just had in this new intro.
Yeah, so we just had first of all, Instagram sucks, all right? We're trying to upload this video to Instagram. Instagram don't want to take it, but
keep it pushing, other than bro. That, we can do it.
Yeah. All right. Other than that, 100th episode was cool. Thank you to everybody that sent in their videos. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of stuff. Follow me. Follow everybody over here, of course. KBNG Primetime. And follow the pod. That's all I got to say. I'm just here. Like always.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you do some interesting stuff, because Christy does readings on top of doing improv. So she did my reading on live on YouTube for mm-hmm. my birthday. She's so on point. She's this scary. So not in a good way, though. So I'm going to actually do an update with her on my YouTube channel to kind of tell you guys how everything's starting to manifest that she predicted. So you guys can always send her a DM. I have to plug my girl because she's dope. So I got to tell everybody about it.
And that's Nick Fan, man. So on that note, you know, it's always a Nickelodeon family reunion around here. Tangents fam. Of course, me and Prime, we like basically brothers now. So thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of the Prime Nostalgia Podcast. And before we get out of here,
Prime time is all the time.
Hey, that's what I'm waiting for. Hey. Peace, y'all.
Prime Nostalgia.
Thanks for tuning in to the Prime Nostalgia, the podcast dedicated to entertainment from childhood. That's 80s, 90s, the latest 2000s. Cause Prime, you know it all, and Lee Boy be wild. And he's from all that, dropping gems for you to find. So that's orange, the light is line. Prime time is all the time. We talking about the classics, and there's so many. That's Lee Boy TV and Prime.